Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. An Abi Muhammadin Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala hafizu min Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam da' ma yaribuk ila ma la yaribuk fa inna as-sidqata ma'ninah wal kadhib ribah rawahu Tirmidhi wa qala hadithun sahih. Last week we commenced the chapter on sidq, which meant truthfulness. This hadith has been narrated by Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, the beloved grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was very young when Rasulullah left this world. But despite his being so young, Allah ta'ala had blessed him with such intelligence and such a memory that he says, I memorized from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was his grandfather, the following hadith. It's a very beautiful hadith, very interesting, and of course this has to do with the chapter of Sidq, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, دَعْ مَا يَرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ. Leave out those things that put you into doubt for those things that do not cast any doubt in your heart. In other words, when you are confronted with something, whether it is some item that you're going to purchase or any other situation for the matter, if there is something that you know 100% it is halal, there is no doubt in it, then you use that and you leave out that which you are not sure, that which is dubious, that which is doubtful. Because in another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned that we should refrain from those things which are known as shubuhat. Shubuhat are those things that we are not certain about, whether it's halal or haram. It is a grey area, and that falls under the category of doubtful things. Because the hadith explains, like a person who has a huge farm, and the owner of the farm has his particular animals grazing in a certain designated area, and no other person is allowed to now come and graze his animals in that area. So the king who has his specific sanctuary, and no other animals are allowed to even come near or graze in those in that area. He has, for example, a barbed fence wire, and this area is marked only for the king. No other person can come there. So the others are allowed to graze far away. The more closer you're going to come to the king's area where he is grazing his animals, the more likelihood that you will also, your animals might stray into that area, and that's going to cause you great problems. So in a similar vein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made so many things permissible for us. Use those things which are permissible. Don't come close to those things which are haram or doubtful, because as you come closer to those things which are doubtful, you may stray into haram. And therefore Rasulullah says, دَعْ مَا يَرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ. You've got a choice. There's something which is absolutely halal, perfect, you've got no doubt in it, and the other one you are not sure. So leave out that which you are not sure for that which you have certainty in. And then he says, فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ تُمَأْنِينَهُ وَالْكَذِبَ رِيبًا. Sidq, truthfulness, honesty, will bring contentment to the heart, satisfaction to the heart, peace to the heart. Lies will cause doubt. Lies will cause restlessness. A person speaks one lie, then again he has to speak so many other lies, because he is restless. His heart is not at peace. He's not at serenity. And to come out of the problem, he'll speak more and more lies. Rasulullah says, فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ تُمَأْنِينَ. But the moment you speak the truth, you are relaxed. If you have done something wrong, but you are speaking the truth, you will still be saved. But the moment you speak lies, and you speak another 100 lies on it, you will be putting yourself into more serious problems. The next hadith is a part of a lengthy incident that took place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein Rasulullah had sent certain letters of da'wat, inviting certain kings to Islam. And these kings lived far away from Makkah and Medina. And Rasulullah sent certain sahaba to these kings with a letter. And the letter was written for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he put his Mubarak seal, his stamp on it. And these sahaba went out far to give da'wah to these people. So Dihya al-Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala, a very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sometimes Jibreel alayhi salatu salam came to Rasulullah in this form and the appearance of Dihya Kalbi. So can you imagine what a level of sahabi he must have been? Rasulullah sends him to Heraclius, Heracle in Arabic, to give him the letter in which Rasulullah invited him to Islam. So when he comes, Heraclius looks at his letter, but he wants to know more about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he asks, is there any person right now who comes from his tribe? At that particular time, Abu Sufyan was there on a trade journey with certain people of the Quraysh. And at that moment of time, Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim at that time. He embraced Islam later on. So Heraclius, when he came to know, there are some people from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family or tribe, and he called for them. And he asked, who's the leader? They said, Abu Sufyan. So he said, I'm going to ask you certain questions, and I want you to give me the reply on these questions. But he placed Heraclius in front of him, and the remaining of the people who had come with him, he placed Abu Sufyan in front of him, and the others who had come in that same group with Abu Sufyan, he placed them behind Abu Sufyan. The reason for this is, as he asked the question, and he looked at Abu Sufyan's face, and then more than that, he looked at the people behind him to see if Abu Sufyan is speaking a lie, then those people will immediately show by means of appearance of the face that they will frown, they might raise the eyebrows, or they might look at each other. From that, he will gauge that this person is speaking a lie. Nonetheless, Abu Sufyan is called and these questions are placed put forward to him, and he gives every single answer. And the answers he gives are all correct, and he gave the true description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Heraclius understood from this that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had in the scriptures that there will be a person by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who will be the final Nabi, but he did not know it would be from the Arabs. So immediately he felt very inclined towards accepting Islam. But of course he was a king, or he was had a very senior position, and there were people, he had citizens under him. And the moment he expressed some desire or inclination towards Islam, his ministers caused an uproar. So immediately what he does, he tells all the people to go out, he makes some mashura with them, and then he realizes that let me test my people to see. He does not want to be overthrown. He does not want to lose his chair. So he needs to get the confidence of his people. He summons them, he calls them in, and he says, you know, I want to ask you about this person, and whatever he said and whatever he's preaching, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seems to be true, and his deen seems to be true, and we should all embrace it. The moment he says things like this, the people become very upset, and there's a clamor, and people are shouting. Immediately he stops and he says, no, I was just testing you to see how strong you are on your deen of your forefathers. Nobody's accepting Islam, so unfortunately they do not accept Islam. But the hadith of Rasulullah narrated here on Abi Sufyan, Sakh ibn Harbin radiallahu ta'ala, fi hadithi at-tawil fi qissati Hiraqla, qala Hiraqlu, فماذا يأمركم يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أبو سفيان قلت يقول اعبدوا الله وحده لا تشركوا به شيئا واتركوا ما يقول آباؤكم ويأمرنا بالصلاة والصدق والعفاف والصلة متفق عليه. So in this part of this incident where Heraclius asked Abu Sufyan that what is this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanding you people to do? So Abu Sufyan replies, he says Rasulullah says, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ, then worship only Allah. Do not associate any partners with Allah. He is preaching monotheism, to worship only one Allah. And Allah has got no partners. Number two, وَتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ أَبَاؤُكُمْ, and leave out, abandon all the teachings of your forefathers, because the forefathers used to worship idols, the sun, the moon, etc. And they commit shirk, so leave out their teachings. Number three, وَيَأْمُرُنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ, he commands us to read salat. And وَالصِّدْقِ, and to be truthful and honest. And that is why Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this hadith in this chapter, because it pertains to Sidq, and he commands us to be true. وَالْعَفَافِ, and to be chaste. Afaf has two meanings. One is to be chaste, and the other meaning is not to beg. وَالصِّلَةِ, and to join ties. You know, at that time, the tribes used to have warfare, and family relationships were broken, and وَالصِّلَةِ, it was a very important command that Rasulullah gave the Sahaba, that you must join family ties. And this was when Heraclius said that this is the same thing that our messengers previously in our scriptures have mentioned, that we should join ties, etc. And this is why this hadith has been mentioned, that we should be truthful in all our affairs. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to be honest and loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be true to Allah Rabbul Izzat and true to the fellow mankind. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah.